The Holy Gospel for this Christmas Eve is taken from the second chapter of the Gospel according to Luke. Glory to you, O Lord. In those days, a decree went out from Emperor Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration and was taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. All went to their own towns to be registered. Joseph also went from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to the city of David called Bethlehem, because he was descended from the house and family of David. He went to be registered with Mary, to whom he was engaged and who was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for her to deliver her child. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in bands of cloth and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. In that region there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. For see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace among those whom he favors." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us." So they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the child lying in the manger. When they saw this, they made known what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured all these words and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had seen, all they had heard and seen, as it had been told them. This is the gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. Dear friends in Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Today I'm going to talk to you about heaven. That's right, heaven. Heaven is the place where most people think you go after you die, right? So, and it's not just Christianity. There's other religions that have the same type of idea. Versions differ with different religions, but the idea is that so long as you meet certain criteria, and for most religions, frankly, the criteria is that you live a life of service and love for your neighbor. So long as you can somehow or another reflect the nature of God in the way you live your life, then when you die, you go to heaven. That's the idea. So, but you know, I've noticed recently, especially when I've done memorial services and other places too, that people are starting, instead of using the word heaven now, people start to say that their loved one went to a better place. A better place. Now, I'm not sure exactly why that is, but perhaps the word heaven isn't used as much because, you know, the practice of religion has waned of late. You know, there's not as many people filling the pews. There's not as many people worried about doing the things that are necessary to get to heaven. In fact, most people don't even think about it. Unless, of course, maybe at the time when they lose a loved one, someone very close to them, it's very hard to let go. And it's comforting to think of your loved one as being someplace else. So they're in a better place. A better place. But frankly, outside of when we lose a loved one, or perhaps when we ourselves are facing our own mortality because of a serious diagnosis or whatever, bad accident or something, most of our energy isn't taken up worrying about heaven much. We're worried about our life here in this world. We're taken up with all kinds of things that are necessary for living the kind of life people want to live, a fulfilling life. And of course, in America, our culture kind of complicates that a little bit because we have this thing called the American dream, right? And the American dream is that you work hard, you play by the rules, and you'll rise in terms of your station in life. You'll earn more money, you'll get a better job, things will get better. And hopefully, for your children, things will be even better yet. The idea is that, you rise up. And so most of our energy is taken up with matters pertaining to life in this world, and we don't worry too much about heaven. We don't think about it all that much, frankly. On the other hand, looked at from a certain point of view, you might come to the conclusion that this place we call heaven, or a better place, whatever you want to call it, is the thing that we think about more than any other thing in our lives. It takes up our thoughts all the time. I mean, think about it. When we say that our loved one goes to a better place, or to heaven, or whatever it is, we're talking about them reaching a point after death in this case, but reaching a point in their life where finally there's joy and happiness and peace and perfect fulfillment. But the fact of the matter is that we are worried about reaching joy and peace and fulfillment every day of our lives. That's what life is about, right? When we set goals to make our lives better, we're thinking about getting to a better place. When we think about earning more money, we're thinking about getting to a better place. When we think about, having a good retirement, we're thinking about a better place. Whatever it might be, we're always thinking about how to get to a better place. We're always trying to reach fulfillment. We're looking for happiness all over the place from the time we're born to the time we die. We're looking for this. It's the nature of being a human being. I will never forget one Christmas when I was about 5, 6 years old, maybe. I knew exactly what I wanted. I was interested in history because I had an uncle that taught history at Augsburg College in Minneapolis. And I told my parents, I want this set, the Civil War set. It was little Civil War figures. You could set up models of Civil War battles. And along with that, I wanted a set of what were called Lincoln logs. I don't know if any of you remember those. You could make log cabins. In fact, you could make a whole little village, And I wanted these things in the worst possible way. But being typical Midwestern Norwegian background family, it's Christmas Eve, you had to go through steps before you got to opening your presents, right? there was getting everything ready, and then there was serving the lutefisk dinner, and then there was cleaning up afterwards without the help of a dishwasher. And I sat there waiting and waiting and waiting because I knew when I opened those presents, I would be in seventh, not just heaven, seventh heaven. Okay? Well, the time finally came. We could open our presents. And we had to take advantage of it because not long after that, we were headed to church. Okay? So we opened the presents, I got them out, and I was just absolutely giddy with happiness. And I played with these things, you know, just about every day for about a month. And then pretty soon, it got to be a little less, then a little less. And then maybe 3 months later, they went into a box, they were put in the closet, and I have no idea whatever happened to those things. We're always looking for a better place, right? The problem is that when we get there, it doesn't turn out to be as good as we wanted it to be. Or it doesn't last. The same thing happened with my cars. I told my dad when I was 15 years old and I got my driver's license early, I said, I need a car. Okay, so we got in the car, we went to this dealer, and he bought me a Rambler. Remember those? It burned more oil than gas. But I was in seventh heaven. I had my own car. I was driving, the shift was on the, you know, the steering column. But then when people started yelling at me, why don't you get a horse? I decided this wasn't seventh heaven. Okay, I need something better than that. So then I had dreams of a muscle car. And when I finally got that muscle car, boy, I was in seventh heaven for about 4 or 5, maybe 6 months. Then the thing got really rather tiresome. It broke down all the time, electrical problems, problems with this, problems with that. And I came to the conclusion that the best thing to do with that thing was to sell it, which I did. We're constantly looking for a better place. We're constantly looking for more joy and happiness. And we set these goals and we think once we get there, we're going to get there. And then it's going to last. We're going to feel fulfilled. We're going to feel complete. We're going to feel whole. We're going to feel more at peace with ourselves. We're not going to be so restless and anxious, and life will be better. Well, by the time I got to college, I started to think about this, and I started to wonder, you know, why is it that human beings are constantly searching for a better place, and then when they get there, it just doesn't last. So then the search starts over again. And they look for something else. A combination, perhaps, of things. Maybe a better lifestyle. You know, maybe if I was born rich, but I'll tell you something. I know people who were born very wealthy and whose lives ended up being a disaster, filled with alcoholism and broken families. So being born with money isn't going to do it. So anyway, we're constantly on the search. Now, is it possible that the Christmas story that we all know so well from Luke, that Luke constructs this story partly precisely to address this question, this issue of looking for a better place? I think so. I think that's what this story is all about. This story is about, it's not about how human beings get to the better place that we're looking for. Because our vision is blurry. You know, when I take my glasses off, I can't recognize anybody. It's extremely blurry. And that's the way our vision is about this better place we're looking for. we don't really know what it is. So we construct things that we think might do it, but it never does. I mean, it might last for a while, but we never quite get there, right? The story of Christmas is the story not about how people get to heaven. There's no ladder that we can climb to get to that better place. God did not put a ladder down. What he did do is open the door and came to us instead in the person of his Son, Jesus Christ, who came not to make life hunky-dory, who came not to turn life into something that's easy and happy and filled with joy all the time. That is not why he came. He came, as he said himself, on one occasion to his disciples. He said, "Don't seek for those things that thieves can break in and steal, or that rust, or that moths eat." In other words, don't seek things that are temporary, that can be taken away from you, created things. Instead, seek that which is eternal, which can never be taken away, which is always present, and which is a pure gift. Nobody asked Jesus to be born. God sent him. Nobody asked Jesus to give his life on the cross. He did that willingly on his own. That was his choice in obedience to his Father. And it was all done, nothing for himself, all for us, as a pure gift, in order that we might have what he called the treasures of heaven. What Jesus does is not come down in order to bring us up to heaven. He came down to bring heaven to us. He came down to be that better place we're looking for. He came to us as a person so that we could have a relationship that would result in what it is we're seeking. If we're seeking wholeness and healing, if we're seeking spiritual peace, if we're seeking the kind of deep and abiding joy that remains even in times of pain and suffering, if we're seeking the kind of hope that remains even when things are hopeless because we're in a position in this life where we lose the things we cherish, the hope he brings doesn't go away. It's not temporary. It's eternal. It's forever. He came to bring that better place to us. Human beings are born with a restless heart. We inherit that. And so we're going to end up looking for a better place in our lives. We're going to end up looking, and you know, the word better place implies that there's something wrong with this place. And there is. It needs redemption. He came not to destroy the world, but to redeem it. God's plan for creation is not to wipe it out. His plan for creation is to redeem it, to make it eternal, to make it the place he intended it to be, in the place he intends us to be. A place where We find healing from the traumatic events of the past, a place where we find forgiveness for the foolish choices we make, a place where the power of the Holy Spirit, which is the being of God's love itself, fills our hearts and minds because God wants to be in fellowship with us. He wants that for us. And so on Christmas, what we celebrate is not the idea, not just the idea that when we die, we go to heaven. What we celebrate is that heaven came to us on Christmas. Heaven came to us in the sense that Jesus offers himself as what he calls the narrow way. Not the wide road that all these multitudes of people take that end up in destruction, as he put it, but himself as that narrow gate that leads to participation in the being of God, because this is God's presence in our midst. And when we, through faith, receive the gift of Jesus Christ in our hearts, when he is born in us, we participate and have a share in divine life. Life that continues to give us strength and healing and hope, regardless of what it is we need to face and regardless of what challenges come. He is born to us, and he becomes the road to what our hearts are seeking, the goal of life, the road to joy in life. Is what C.S. Lewis said. When somebody asked him, "What is the meaning of life, Dr. Lewis?" He said, "The meaning of life is to be loved by God." Amen.